Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, I'd like to ask Brian to come on up here. He's got a great message for you today. It actually could be greater because he said he's going to practice on you today. Uh-oh. Yeah. So toward the end, we might say, could you start over, please? Surely you can do it better than that. But we won't say that, will we? We won't say start over. We'll just go like this. Get to the conclusion. Do you have a conclusion?
I do.
Okay, good. Hey, there you go. All right, so Brian, we're happy to have you. Hadn't have you in a while, so great to have you, and I'll turn it over to you.
Amen. It's good to be able to speak again. I think Brother Buddy is on to a good fundraiser for the seniors ministry. Okay? So everybody go out today and buy $100 worth of those stamps. Okay? Okay? And then next week we'll sell them for 55 cents. Right? And if we get lucky, we'll sell them for 60 cents. You know, hey, they're forever. You never know. Eventually they're going to be 65 cents. You're getting a deal today. Leave it to Buddy, right? That's a guy with high-level thinking. Yeah. I can't take credit in front of him. If he wasn't here, I'd say it was my idea. There's not a lot that I do know. That's obvious. But there's the one thing that I do know is fire departments, fire services, and a little bit of the EMS stuff. It's been a while for me. But when I think about what I want to talk about, you know, the easiest thing for me to relate is something to do with fire services. Well, in the fire department, we always hear the term fire truck, right? It's a generic term, fire truck. There goes a fire truck. But to a fireman, when I see that apparatus go down the road, I know what it is. I know it's a fire truck or it's a fire engine. You know? You see these little things that look like pickup trucks with the pump on the back of it? That's a brush truck. It's not a fire truck. That's a brush truck. You'll see some that look like fire trucks, but they're just kind of big and square. A lot of those are tankers. They just carry water. It's a tanker. It's not a fire truck. It's a tanker. To a fireman, it's a tanker. It's not a fire truck. You'll see some that look like Fort Worth has one of these big ones that's square, too, but it's a rescue. And it's got a lot of compartments. It's just a rescue truck. They just carry rescue tools and equipment. It's a rescue truck. To the average person, it's a what? But to a fireman, it's a rescue, right? And when you see the little Suburban with the blinky lights, it's a chief. You need to get out of the way because usually we have a thing in the fire department. When the white helmets show up, that's when things go bad. This last week, we were in a safety officer's class for 2 days. And in the course of the day, they would put pictures up of fire scenes, accident scenes. And we were supposed to look at that picture and just that snapshot and look for safety violations or what we could do to make things safer, right? Well, it was our team's turn. There was a picture. And I guarantee you if there was 20 people there, and half of them had white helmets on. I said, well, the first problem you have is you got too many white hats. That's a safety issue right there in and of itself. You know, the chiefs need to stay away because once they get involved, things just go bad. We don't like the chiefs up in our business. But I want to talk to you today about triple combination. And I know you don't know what that means yet, but you will. Fire engines and Christians. I'm going to consider us fire engines for the Lord today, okay? Fire engines come in different shapes and sizes. Fire trucks, fire engines, they all come in different shapes and sizes. Yep. You'll have the engines, which is like these. That's a truck because it's got more than one axle. That's a tender, but it's actually a fire truck because it has all the equipment, the hose, and ladders. This is a tiller, but it's still a fire truck. What is that? It's an old engine right there. That's an old engine. That's where the term came from, fire engine, because originally they came from a engine, and the people that drove them were the engineers from the trains because they were the ones that were working the coal stuff, you know. They'd get that pump going. So that's where the engine company came from. They had hose companies because this guy doesn't carry a lot of hose. Then they had water companies or tenders that all they did was drag a big bucket of water around. So when they got to the scene, all they would do is just either if they had a municipal fire system, they would hook up to the system, or they would use this suction hose right here. It's a hard hose. They throw one piece of that into the water, into a lake, a pool. Well, they probably didn't have swimming pools back then, but a lake or a pond, some source of water. And then in the course of the pumping action, it would draw water out and then spit it out the other end. It's called drafting is what that's called. And most of our engines today don't draft because we just don't use water sources because we got hydrants everywhere, right? So we don't do that. But you can see fire engines, fire trucks, they come in different shapes and sizes. Just like Christians, just like us, we all come in different shapes and sizes. Next. Some of us are a little bit darker than others. Some of us are a little bit older than others. Some of us, dare I say, even prettier than others. But we all are Christians, right? I think it's going to be cool when we get to heaven. I don't think there will be, even if there is color, there may not be, even if there is color, it doesn't matter. Because we're all the same. We're all going to look cool in our new glorified body. Those of us that are young, we're going to look good. Those of us that are old, we're going to look good. All right? Those of us that are ugly, you know, hey, I'll improve. You know? Those of us that are older and have medical issues, right? There won't be none of that there. We're going to have a whole new body. It's going to be cool. But while we're here on this earth, we are a mesh posh, I guess is the word, of a whole bunch of different types of people that come together in separate places around the world and serve and worship our one true God. Amen? I showed you this picture here because you hear the term fire engine, you hear the term truck. Another term that you would hear is quint. That's a fire truck. This is a fire engine. And this is not my engine. That's the type of engine that I'm right on right now. And it's just an engine company. And usually it's a single axle in the back. This has nothing to do with the sermon. It has a single axle in the back. It doesn't have no big ladder on top. But that's an engine. This is a quint because it has a ladder on top. Usually quints have a single axle in the back. Sometimes they can have a dual. But the ladder size is what really determines it. And then you have what they call a truck company. Truck companies, they'll always have ladders because that's what separates a truck from an engine, is the big ladder, usually a tandem axle in the back, and then they carry a whole lot more ladders. They carry other stuff, whereas, you know, let's say that I got three ladders on my truck right here. Well, they'll have like six or eight coming out the back of that thing, not counting that big ladder up on top. But what's cool is this year, my station is going to get an apparatus just like that one right there. This is what we have now. That's what we're getting because the dynamic of the district that I'm in, we're going to be getting some businesses and high-rise stuff. So they're going to put us in one of these 106-foot ladder. 106-foot. What is interesting is we have one of these. It's 107-foot. And this ladder is meant to be climbed on, but the type of truck that we have, it's more of an escape ladder. So when you ride in this one, you climb up on the truck, you walk down there, you get in it, you go up in the air in the bucket. Not with this one. This one here, you can't raise, lower, move the ladder with someone on the ladder. So you have to set the ladder and then climb the ladder. This is something I'm really looking forward to. When we get this piece of apparatus, one of the in-service things we've got to do is they're going to set that thing up at 107 foot. They're going to set it at a 75-degree angle, and we all have to climb the thing. Not all at one time. But we have to climb the thing, stand there for a second, and then come back down. Now, you know, I'm not the littlest of guys. And when you get out on this last little section right here, when you're on this first section, you know you've got some stuff beside you. Then as the further out you get, it's like there's nothing beside me. And, you know, if I start doing this, he's going to rock with me, you know. It's not one of those things I'm just really fond of. And I'm sure that when I get done, there will be claw marks all over that ladder. But but they're going to make us climb it, which makes sense to me. Any event that we have to do a rescue, we've got to go up there and be able to perform it. And we have to be able to perform it over the fear, right? My engineer, my driver right now, he is 62. He could retire if he wanted to, but he wants to get another 3 years. He has made the comment that he will retire before he climbs that ladder. So I told Lauren, I said, you might be careful about, you know, making promises that you can't cash, you know. You're going to either eat your words or you're going to have to go home, one of the two. But we're all going to have to climb that stupid thing. I don't know why, but when I was thinking about this, and I threw this in there, I just wanted to kind of relate it a little bit to us today. I want to look at this. This is predominantly the apparatus that you'll see on the road. Every fire department in the world will have one of these, a fire engine, right? And I want to consider us, you and me, the average, the normal Christian as one of these. These guys go everywhere. They're everywhere. These are the guys that really put the fire out. These guys just kind of support. But these are the guys that really do the work. Okay? Let's think about these guys as our local pastors. A little bit more involved. They can reach out and touch a little bit more than we can, right? Because they got a ladder. And these are our pastors. Not, I say like pastors, like Pastor Doug, Pastor Steve. And then I go over here and I think about these are our missionaries. These are the guys got a little bit more reach. They got more to them. These are the people that go out into the world, and reach the unsaved, right? Places that we can't go or we won't go, but they will go. And they have a job that we don't have, and we have a job they don't have. So I don't know why. When I was putting this together, I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. We can think of ourselves as fire engines. That's what I want you to think today, that you're a fire engine. Our pastors are quints, a little bit more to them, and our missionaries are the truck company. We said anybody else that has a red truck with blinky lights on it is just a truck, right? It's just a vehicle. Now, if I was to ride in a tender, let's say a tender was my ride, hey, buddy, that's the best thing there is because you can't do nothing without me, right? But no, this is me right here. Okay, let's get back to point. There's a term we call in the fire service triple combination. That's what this one is, and that's what this one is as well, but it has more stuff to it. And in order to be considered a triple combination fire engine, it has to have three parts, right? Triple, three, right? It has to have a fire pump. It has to have a means by which to get that water out. It has to have a water tank in the event that you can't tag a hydrant right off. We carry a minimum of 300 gallons. Our trucks carry 500 gallons, so that when we arrive on the scene, I've got 500 gallons of water, and I can get off that apparatus, and if it's something I feel like, hey, I can handle this quickly. And the big thing is put the fire out. You put the fire out, everything else clears up. Somebody's in the house, put the fire out. You get the patient out, you know. Big thing for the engine company guys, put the fire out. So we have to have water, and then we have to have hose, right? That kind of goes by itself, right? If you don't have those three things, you're not considered a triple combination engine, okay? And the Quint has four. It'll have more. The ladder is really what makes it, and then a truck company has more. We have standards in the fire service. The National Fire Protection Association sets the standards for fire trucks. They're the ones that says this is a fire engine, this is a truck. If you want to be a truck, you got to have this. If you want to be an engine, you got to have this. NFPA 1901 is the one that affects us. I don't know why I stuck this in here, but the fire pump has to be able to flow at least 750 gallons a minute. It has to have at least 300 gallons of water. Carry five. I think the trucks, the big guys, they carry 300 because they don't have as much space because they're carrying all this other stuff, all this other useless stuff. And then the hose, they have to carry at least 800 foot of what we consider a large diameter hose. We carry 5-inch hose. 5-inch, once water's going through it, it's 5-inch diameter. We carry 1,000 foot of that, but you have to carry 800 feet. And then 400 feet of inch and a half are hand lines, inch and a half. Half to inch and three quarter lines. And we carry what? Let's see, 450, 550. We carry 550 feet of pre connects. So when you come off the side of the truck, we got a pump to pump it, we got a water tank to give us water, and we got a hose to go in there and fight the fire. So we are a triple combination engine company. Now, NFPA says you got to have these tools and that tool and that other stuff. But to be considered a triple pumper, triple combination, you got to have at least these three parts. So let's think about us as Christians. Let's put this in perspective for us, okay? And I'm sure that a lot wiser men than myself, a lot smarter men than myself, can come up with a whole bunch of other stuff, but it wouldn't fit with the triple combination, right? So for us to be good Christians, to be triple combination Christians, we need three things. We need to have good words, we need to have good works, and we need to have a good prayer life. I believe if you take any one of those parts out, then we become an inadequate Christian. We become an inadequate person. Because if we don't speak, it's all stored up inside of us. If we don't pray, we don't have the power, we don't have that water to push out of our lives. And I know, we all know, that works doesn't get us to heaven, but we have to have good works. We have to do things for other people. So these are the three things that I come up with for us to be good triple combination fire engine Christians. Amen? And our standard is sit by the Bible. Just like NFPA sets it for the fire services, the Word of God sets the standards for us. So let's look at our standard. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Power of life and death. We've heard that. I've heard that all my life. The tongue has the power of life and death. But that last little part was kind of cool to me. And those who love it will eat its fruit. We all know people that love to talk. And if you're speaking a lot of good stuff, then you're going to eat a lot of good stuff. If you're speaking a lot of ugly stuff, you're going to eat a lot of ugly stuff too, right? But the power of life and death is in the tongue. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You guys are a whole lot more mature than I am, a lot smarter than I am. But I know there are times when I can say something to someone that I know I'm going to get a response out of. And I'm going to set them off or put them at a different level. You know? I know what words to say to Cindy. You know? If I know I want to get her goat, hey, go there. You know? And then when she's there, it's like I start talking real gentle. You know? But we know that when someone is in a bad mood and they're having a bad day, it's not wise to go right back at them with the bad stuff. You know, you can diffuse a whole lot of stuff with a gentle answer. You know, and a lot of times just being humble, you can diffuse a whole lot of stuff. And even more than that, just be quiet. Sometimes you can diffuse a lot of stuff because you don't want to eat that, right? Luke 6:45. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth has what? It speaks what the heart is full of." If our heart's full of good, we're going to speak good. If our heart's full of bad, we're going to speak bad, right? That's what's going to come out of you. And it's not just going to come out in your words, it'll come out in your deeds as well. But we got to have good stuff inside of us. Now, you guys are smart enough to know that if we don't have good in us, what do we have? If we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, and we don't have the love of the Lord in us, then what's in us? Just the old dirty flesh, right? And that's nasty stuff. Can you imagine, you don't have to imagine, you can see the world and the way they talk, the way they act. Okay, it makes perfect sense to me why sinners do what they do. Because that's what's inside of them. It's not pretty. I don't agree with it. Sometimes it makes me upset and mad. But that ugly inside of them is coming out. But as Christians, our words have to be words that speak life. Because that's what should be stored up inside of us. You know, it also talks about, "Judge not lest you be judged," right? But when someone's talking ugly, someone's saying ugly things, you really don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's up inside that person. We're not judging then, are we? We're just speaking truth or thinking truth because of what's coming out of them. So as Christians, we need to have good words. Amen? Good water. We went to a fire in Keller a few years ago. And being in South Lake, we usually get there. We should get there last, Keller, but I think we were like third on. So I'm staged a couple of blocks away with my apparatus. My fire crew, they walked on up, and I get a radio back because I'm right next to the hydrant. They've already tagged the hydrant. Hydrant's flowing water. And they're like, Brian, we need you to pump that hydrant. That usually means that they're not getting enough water out of that hydrant. So what I do is I bring it into my engine, and my centrifugal pump will take that pressure and the water that's coming out of that hydrant and boost it and give more. It'll actually draw more water out of that hydrant than they would normally get. I said, okay, you're going to shut down. So they shut down for just a sec. I tagged the hydrant, and I hooked their supply line to my engine. I actually had two. I had the 5-inch coming off the steamer and a 2.5 that come off the other side. So I had everything that hydrant could give me, and then I also had their line going that to the fire. It's not working, and we ain't getting no water. Well, I don't know what to tell you. We'll come to find out. When the guys get there first, they're supposed to turn the hydrant on, flush it. Some people just want to stick stuff inside those things. Or in the water system, and you know, I don't get this because it's a closed system, but there are rocks and dirt, all kinds of crud that's in those pipes. Well, what had happened is there was this thing, had a whole bunch of rocks. They turned on the hydrant without flushing it first. All those rocks, all that debris made its way down to their engine. So when they disconnected their hose, there was a whole gob of rocks and just mess that was preventing that from getting through the fire truck. I thought, man, you know what? That's pretty cool because sometimes we may have things in our lives. We're good people. We go to church. Dare I say we're saved, Christians. But we're just not being able to push out the good stuff because we still have some things in our lives that are preventing us from doing good things, preventing us from saying things, attitudes. Ooh, you had to go there, didn't you? You know, our attitudes can sometimes prevent us from speaking good words. There may be things, habits in our lives that prevent us from speaking good words. And we don't need that. You need to get all that crap out of your life. You need to flush yourself out. Good works. Titus 3:14. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what? What is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. We need to do things. We need to do good works to others. We need to do really good works for our fellow brothers and sisters, don't we? But we need to do good works and not live an unproductive life. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your what? Good deeds, and what? Glorify God on the day he visits us. We don't want to just do good deeds so that people see us do good deeds, because then you have your reward. But we do good deeds because that's what the Lord wants us to do, good deeds. And when the world sees us doing good deeds, they're going to notice something different about you, and then they're going to want what you have. Or when they're in trouble, hey, I know this cat over here. Pretty good people. I need to go talk to them. And there's the means by which to minister to people. And then John 13:34-35 says, a new command I give you. What? Love one another as I have loved you. Now, it says, as I have loved you. He loved us, not just in words, but he loved us indeed, didn't he? We had all the people that he touched while he was here on this earth. And then think about what he did for all humanity when he laid his life down on the cross for us. Love them as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love. Love is that big one right there. That's our works. We work out of love for what God done for us and for loving other people. You know, I can tell Cindy all day long that I love her. She's the sweetest thing in my life. All the pretty little words, you know. And I think she gets tired of it. She'll tell you no, but, you know, it's like I say it so much, I think it's just repetitive. It's just, but it's, you know, I can say all that stuff, but I went and got her some flowers. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's so sweet. You know, if I brought her some candy home, she'd be mad at me and slap me around. But I know what Cindy needs for me to show her I love her. I get her some flowers every now and then. You know, if I've been bad, I get her two. You know? She works all day, and I know that. So I try when she comes home from work, the house is picked up, the house is clean. 9 times out of 10, we have dinner ready. And I'm just showing her by my good deeds that I love my wife, right? And I respect her. That's just between Cindy and I. But we need to do that at work. Yesterday we were at work. And my engineer had a medical procedure done, and he didn't call in and tell us that he was having this thing done. He's going to miss 6 shifts. And so I was concerned that he violated policy by having an elective procedure without telling someone he's going to be gone. So there was a little bit of anger, a little bit of, you know, why'd you do this to us, Lauren? So Lauren calls, and he said, hey, I had this thing done. It was supposed to be a quick in and out, but once they got in there, it was like, it's not a quick in and out thing. This is a big deal. And they cut him from his earlobe to his spine, and he had to have 25 stitches on the outside, 25 stitches on the inside. He said, so I can't come. Okay. So the chief comes in, and I said, hey, did you talk to Lauren? I said, yeah. Why wasn't he here? I said, well, chief, I'm trying to turn over a whole new leaf here. I said, I'm going to give Lauren the benefit of the doubt on this one. You know, he didn't know what this was going to be. And I thought to myself, you know, when I was, and obviously I'd already prepared this, I thought, you know, that's the attitude I need to have every day. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Don't speak ugly about them because I don't know the situation that they're in, you know. And in that small way, I'm showing Lauren that I love Lauren. And I do love him. Love his soul. I love him as a man, too. He irritates the mess out of me, but I still love the guy. But we have to show that love, even to those folk that just irritate us like no end, right? A good prayer life. James 5 and 16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is the cool part. The prayer of the righteous person is what? Powerful and effective. Don't underestimate your prayers. Don't underestimate the power of the prayer. Because if nothing else, we're talking to the Lord at that point. And I believe he hears us. Every time we speak to him, he hears us. We just need to get ourselves sometimes in line with his will, you know? But there's power in prayer. We may not see it today. We may not see it in our lifetime. But there's power in prayer. Amen. Romans 12 and 12 says, be what? Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We got to be faithful in prayer. Ooh, that's a hard one right there, huh? To be patient. But if we're praying all the time, I think that's going to help us be patient in the affliction. And it kind of goes backwards. And it'll help us be joyful. It'll help us be patient. It'll help us love one another, right? Faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18. This is at the end of the full armor of God. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Not just when you're happy. Not just when you're sad. Not just when you're hurting. All occasions. Pray with all kinds of prayer. It's important, I believe, that we pray in the Spirit. And it says it there, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. We should pray in the Spirit to allow our spirit to communicate with God. But I believe it's important, too, that we pray with our words. Because now it's a conscious thing going from here to him. Right? Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests to the Lord. Keep on praying for the Lord's people. Because, Lord, we need it, right? We need it more today than we ever have. So, in conclusion, if we remove any portion of the triple combination pumper, fire engine, all we have is a truck. You know, all we have is something that's got stuff on it. As Christians, if we remove any portion, our words, our deeds, our prayers, if we remove any of those, we become ineffective, and we're just people. And we don't want to be just people. I don't even want to be just a Christian. Now, that's pretty cool in and of itself, right? But I want to be an on fire for the Lord Christian. I want to be a productive Christian. I want to be a happy Christian. And don't just settle for being. Live a full and productive Christian life. And if we align ourselves with Him and get these three things, I'm sure there's a lot more. But if we get these three things in line, these are pretty basic, right? Then we can be good Christians. So we want to be fire trucks, right? So anybody ever ask you, you can tell them you're a cripple. You're not cripple. You're a triple combination Christian fire truck. Okay? You can remember that, right? I can't say it, but I can remember it. Amen? Well, that's all that I have. Thank you, Pastor Steve.